We're beginning the study of Ashavas Aveda. So, classic Ashavas Aveda, as per our promotional flyer, the guy with the lost wallet and the bills fluttering around, the Ashavas Aveda that we know, which most of the halach will be about, is someone has lost property and you find it and you're supposed to return it. That's what almost all the halacha will be about. I want to just begin tonight, by way of an introduction, discuss a variation of Ashavas Aveda. That, abstractly speaking, the idea of Ashavas Aveda is if someone's going to have a loss, he's already lost his property, you have to return it and prevent another Jew from suffering a loss. So there's a lot of discussion in the poskim, and it's somewhat unclear and full of contradictions, about if you can prevent somebody from suffering a loss, not actually a specific concrete item that he's lost, you can somehow prevent somebody from suffering a loss. Do you have a chiyuv to do that too? Is that also part of Ashavas Aveda? His house is burning down, you can put it out, and so on and so forth. So the basic answer is yes, but as well, you are mechuyav to do that. You are mechuyav to take any action, any possible action to stop people from suffering losses. But as we'll see, there are a number of contradictions and ambiguities about this form of Ashavas Aveda. On the one hand, in the end of our siman, the end of Reish Nun Tes, the Shulchan Aruch says, it's a Gemara, Avedas Karka. Someone has an aveda of karka, he's lost property. Chayav lahashiv. How do you lose karka? So basically, the Gemara says that aveda's karka is a drasha. The examples in the Torah of Ashavas Aveda are typical personal property, animals and garments and stuff. But the Gemara has a drasha, not explicit, but a drasha to be marba aveda's karka. How do you have aveda's karka? So imra mayim baim lishta of sada chaver. You see a flood, water coming to eradicate, erode somebody's field. You have to put up a dike, sandbags, whatever it is, to put up some kind of barrier to stop the water from damaging the field. So the chiddush of the Gemara is even though it's karka. But our takeaway is something more abstract, that not just if the property is lost in the sense of a lost wallet, even if there is an impending catastrophe, an impending damage that's going to occur to your fellow man, that's included in the mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda. Now, the Gemara all over Shas has the concept of mavriach ari, literally to chase away a lion. Most of this does not occur in the context of Ashavas Aveda. Most of it occurs in context of whether you're allowed to charge for such a service. If you have a problem and I go ahead and forestall your problem, is that a service I can charge for? If I paint your house, I do a constructive, positive good for you, I can charge. If I forestall a problem, that's called mavriach ari. Am I allowed to charge for that? A complex sugya. But in the course of that discussion, the Rishonim do say that Mavriach Ari is a mitzvah. Whether that is the reason you're potter according to some Shitas and Achronim or not, the Rishonim do use language that stopping somebody from having a problem, Mavriach Ari, is a mitzvah. Ad Kedei Kach, the Gemara in Darim talks about whether someone who's Mudr Hana, if there's a neder in place that prevents Reuven from helping Shimon, the Gemara says he's allowed to heal him, provide refuah. The Ran says that certainly you can provide refuah to the person, and we'll discuss a little bit later. Even healing his animal would be okay if there's no one else who can do it, because that's a Ashavas Aveda, it's also a mitzvah. Rick Vager argues that, doesn't understand the Ran, he says that the heter of Ashavas Aveda from Mudra Hana, not because it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is not what allows you to be over your neder. That's a technical topic we will turn to a little bit later. But in general, there is a mitzvah to help people and a mitzvah to prevent damage from befalling your fellow Jew. Now, there is some language in the Rishonim that seems to indicate that Mavriach Ari would not really be a mitzvah. This is language of the Rashba and the Meiri and the Ramban. They're again dealing with this question the Rishonim have, where the Rishonim have all kinds of steerers throughout Shas. When do we say Mavriach Ari is something you can charge for? When is it not something you can charge for? So the Rishonim struggle greatly to try to find rules. Meiri at one point says, with all these rules, he doesn't feel that we really answer all the different Gemaras. He says, Af b'chalze, eif shul haskim kol ha-shmuas, l'nin echa, tzorach lachsa b'tayim acherim l'harbim mehem. It's very hard to find rules that are really satisfying rules that explain all the Gemaras. But in the course of explaining the different Gemaras about when you're allowed to charge for a service that prevents a loss and when you're not, so one of the kashas is that the Gemara brings a couple of cases. One case is parecha v'shal chavero. If Reuven owes Shimon money, Reuven owes James, a non-Jew money, and someone goes ahead and pays off the debt, that's called Perech Chavah Shel Chaver, when he's not allowed to charge for them. He paid, very nice, he gets Schar, maybe it's a mitzvah, maybe it's not a mitzvah, we'll discuss in a minute, but he can't charge for it. Similarly, the halacha is if a person has maintenance obligations toward his wife, and someone goes ahead and supports the wife, gives her food and board, whatever she needs, so room and board, so he cannot charge the husband, even though he satisfied the husband's obligation. Rishonim ask, that seems to be an example, even though I took care of a concrete need of yours and I paid off a clear debt that you had, one of the raya, you can't charge. So the Ramban has language, and other Rishonim follow him, they have language that's different. The reason you can't charge is they say that it is not a mitzvah. They say, well, they say as follows. They say, Ikala Memar, Kalecha Delavale Ramila Bruche Hoari, if not your job to chase away that lion, then Potter, then if it was something you have to do, you have to return his Aveda, you have to do something that the Torah is Mechayev you to do, then you could charge for it. But if it's something that it's not really your job, it's not your business, nobody asked you to do it, then you cannot charge for it. Meiri elaborates slightly on this. And the Meiri says, he brings this from Yesh Metartzim, Kol She'en Alav Shum Srach Tzivui Beistin. There is no element of tzivui beistin, of mitzvah imperative for you to do this, like these examples, pareachov, zonas ishto, that's mavriachari. But things where there is a mitzvah, for example, aveda, for example, a case where two people are walking and they both have barrels and one of them is carrying expensive vash and one of them is carrying relatively cheaper wine, the honey barrel breaks, so you spill out your wine to help him with his honey, that's also a mitzvah, he says. Those are mitzvahs, so that's not mavriachari. But a case where there's no mitzvah, no srach tivoy, like the Ramban says, lavalei ramye, to do it, that's mavriachari in your pot. So the Piskei Choshen, Rav Bloy, doesn't understand. He says it's pretty clear from the general consensus of the poskim that stopping somebody from suffering a loss is a mitzvah. In the case where the flood is heading toward his karka, that's a gemara, that's a halacha psuka, that is a mitzvah. So he doesn't understand. He brings it from the Rashba, he says he doesn't understand. What kind of idea is this that you're potter from helping people avoid loss? Of course you're mechuyev to that. That's a shavas aveda. He says that he doesn't understand why that's mashma divrei rashba mavriachari is not a shavas aveda tzarchi and mashma avedas karka. But again, at least the way the Ramban and the Meiri brings it, I didn't look up the Rashba himself, the way the other Rishonim bring it, they're not saying that stopping somebody from suffering a loss is not a mitzvah. They're saying, well, these specific cases of loss, what's the loss? Reuven owes Shimon money. You pay Shimon the money. Is it a mitzvah to do that? I mean, I'm saving him from a loss? Reuven owes Shimon money. I have a mitzvah to go ahead and just pay off his debt? So why? I mean, he owes the money. It'll be either Reuven's money or Shimon's money. In the case of he has to pay his wife's mizonos. So I pay the wife's mizonos. I saved him from a loss. That's the Torah says, Hashavas Aveda, go pay off people's debts. Why should I? If it's a non-Jewish creditor, then maybe we can talk about it. But certainly, if it's a Jewish creditor, it's not because helping somebody avoid a loss is not a mitzvah. It's because money that's legitimately owed to another Jew, why shouldn't he pay? He have to pay. He's supposed to pay. He agreed to pay. It's not a loss. It's going from one person to another. That's what they mean is not a mitzvah. They don't mean that saving somebody from a hefsid of a lion eating up his sheep is not a mitzvah. Like he says, if he does karka, it's pretty clear saving somebody from hefsid is a mitzvah. Now, there's a Rik Veger in our Siman who brings a strange machlokas. Rik Veger says, going back to the Gemara Nedarim, Rik Veger says, it's machlokas Rishonim, whether healing somebody's animal is a mitzvah or not. Healing somebody's goof is a mitzvah. That's clear in the Gemara. Healing somebody's animal is a machlokas. It depends how you learn this Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that it's not a mitzvah. It's different from Aveda's guf. So some Rishonim learn that it's not what the Gemara means, but Rik Veger says it's machlokas Rishonim whether healing somebody's animal, and the guy's animal is sick and you fix it, whether that is a mitzvah or not. So again, Pesach Hashem says, you know, why not? You know, what's the svara? Why shouldn't healing the animal be a mitzvah? Why is it worse than stopping somebody's karka from being flooded? That indeed is a difficult problem. It's hard to understand why that shouldn't be a mitzvah. That I don't have anything to say about. There's a third case where this comes up. Again, Rabbi Kiviger. This is going to come up a few simanim down the line. There's a question. Let's say a Jew has betara shmira. He has property belonging to a non-Jew. And so with regard to non-Jews, there's no mitzvah shavas aveda, as we'll see. But in this particular case, the Jew lost the property, and he's going to be liable to the non-Jew to pay for the property. So you, another Jew, find the property. Do you have a mitzvah Shavas Aveda? So to the non-Jew, you don't have any obligation. The question is to your fellow Jew. You're going to save him from being fined by the, from being made to pay for the loss of the property by the non-Jew. Is that a Shavas Aveda or not? Rick Veger says, L'char it is, because you're saving a Jew from having expenses. But he says, there's another Rav, a friend of his, a man named Rabbi Yisrael, who says, maybe not. Maybe there has to be Jewish property. If it's not Jewish property, the fact that in the overall picture the Jew's going to lose money, if the property in question doesn't belong to a Jew, then there is no Asheras Aveda. Rav Shlomo Kluger, both in the Chachma Shlomo there, as well as in the Tshuva and the Halacha Shlomo.
Shlomo
Lisa,
maybe? His friend Rabbi Yisrael.
I don't know. It could be. He identifies him as...
Seder Yisrael,
right? Yeah, Seder Yisrael. He identifies him here simply as Chaveri Harav Yisrael. I mean, if you look in the truth, if you look more, you'll see who it is. I'm not sure. But Rosh Lon Kluger says that you certainly are Chayiv and Hashavas Aveda there, because we don't care if property belongs to a Jew. We care that you're saving a Jew from Hafsid. And again, he brings a Raya from Karka. You see from Karka that saving a Jew from losing money is something you're obligated to do. Then there you can argue that the karka itself belongs to the Jew, but the point is, Rosh Lon Kluger says, well, it doesn't matter. Saving a Jew from losing money is something that you're mechuyev to do. It doesn't matter if the property is lost or not lost. The point is that you're saving a Jew from hefsid. So here also, you're saving the Jew from having to write a check for $500. So why shouldn't that be? Why shouldn't there be a Shavas Aveda? And they bring a raya from a Ramah we'll get to in a couple of simanim in Reish Tamach Aleph. Ramah talks about a case. There is a cow that's running loose. So they talk about a case where you find Reuven's cow. Reuven's cow is running loose, uncontrolled, got out of the barn. The cow itself is not in any danger, but the cow is about to start park. The cow is about to park in a no cow parking zone, and it's going to get fined, basically. Ramah says, "Who in the Mamakum Shaparin Knas in Behema Sharam Besada Zacherim?" The cow is going to get fined for grazing through somebody's field. So you have a mitzvah to take the cow back and get it under control, so the Jew shouldn't get fined. That seems to be, again, mamash the case of Rikim Eger. This is an uncontested din in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, that you are mechuyev to. Again, the general trend seems to be, if you can stop a Jew from getting fined, you're mechuyev to do that. And that brings us...
Again, that case, though, is technically...
There is a cow that does belong to a Jew. Yes. If you somehow have a mechalik like that, maybe that would explain Rikim Eger. But the... Pashas, again, Rosh Lakhlover brings this raya that this is something that you're mechuyev to do. And this brings us, of course, to the quintessential modern case, which as I was preparing, I bumped into a tshuva about dropping a quarter into a meter of another Jew who's about to get a parking ticket. So, if you look around, Jewish sites, non-Jewish sites, there is apparently some question about whether this is legal or not. Apparently, as best as I could tell, it varies by the jurisdiction. There are some cities that have adopted laws that say you're not even allowed to do that. The city can make whatever law it wants, I guess, unless you feel this is so krum that it's an avla, they can't do that. There was actually a story a few years ago on the blogs and on Ynet about some non-religious guy in Yerushalayim comes out and he sees some yeshiva guy putting a quarter in his meter, and he says, like, are you aware that that's my meter? He says, yeah, but you're about to get a ticket. There's a meter maid coming down the street, made his day, and then this being Eretz Yisrael, he sees the meter maid goes over to the Jew and says, no, you don't have to put, he sees the Jew's putting quarters in a lot of meters. He says, no, you don't have to put, you don't need to put a quarter in those meters. They have passes of some sort. So the meter maid says, I'm helping you. I also don't want people to get tickets. That's really a problem, whether it's a conflict of interest for his job to make sure people don't get tickets. But the question is, assuming it's not against the law specifically to put a quarter in someone else's meter, so would a Jew be mechuyev to go ahead and put quarters in other people's meters? Is that nichlal on a show? So they to stop
it. What does it matter if it's
illegal? Okay, we'll return. You're right. I mean, if it would be a, we'll discuss that. We'll get back to that in a second. Right, so one of the issues that Rai Sussman is raising correctly is that Shavas Aveda certainly is not mechayev you to spend money that you won't get back. If you will get the money back, that's a discussion. The Pashto says you are mechayev to lay out the money if you can get it back. So in the particular case of the cars, if you're not going to get it back, then you would probably be potter. If you have some way of getting it back, then that's where it becomes an issue. But you're right, yes, technically that's one of the issues this tshuva raises, that if you don't get the money back, Certainly, if you won't get the money back, you're not going to be mechuyev to. Putting that question aside, would that be nichla on Shavas Aveda? So this tshuva has several reasons why it might not, by Rabbi Rothman in Eretz Yisrael. One of his arguments is based on this discussion of Rick Vager, that stopping somebody from getting fined where it's not actually his property that you're saving is not Shavas Aveda. You know, as he himself notes, it's hard to understand what Rick Vager's sad is. It's against the Ramah. And if you want to say the fact that there's a Jewish cow involved makes it chayav l'kuli alma, here there's a Jewish car involved. It's hard to hear why Rabbi Kveger is difficult to understand sad from his friend Rabbi Yisrael is gonna trump what seems to be a pretty much explicit Ramah. The other issue is getting paid back. The third issue involves the law. So the question here is that the question really is, what does the law say? If the law says that he's really mechuyev to pay the fine, just you can somehow fool the government by paying the knas and by paying the meter, they won't catch him, but really he has an obligation, then maybe you're helping him cheat the government. If the pshat is, though, until the meter maid comes and gives a ticket, he has no obligation whatsoever to pay, which I think is correct. I don't think there's any obligation to pay if they don't catch you. The post can discuss whether you did an avla by parking in a no parking zone, by parking on an expired meter. You might be doing an avla connected to the city by doing that. You're trespassing, you're parking without permission, but certainly I don't think you have a chiyuv to pay the parking fine if they don't catch you. So that I think is again a moot point, that if it happens to actually be a crime to put the quarter in, but you could save him and al pidin he won't be mechuyev, then you have Gidon's question. Do you say that I have to be meishav aveda even though what I'm doing is breaking the law, or do you say that if that's the law I shouldn't do it? Then that's an interesting question that we can discuss further.
Is the level of negligence of the balakarka, for example, in that case?
Yes, that's an excellent point too. Yes, I forgot that. One of the other reasons that this Rabbi Rothman argues against your having an obligation, at least, it might be a mitzvah anyway, but an obligation certainly to do it, is the idea of aveda midas. That's something we're going to get to in the coming simanim. If somebody deliberately, consciously, knowingly abandons his property, even if he would like you to return it, but if he's not bothering to secure it, that's called aveda midas, and then you don't have an obligation to return it. That's, I think, one of the things he raises. If he chose not to bother with paying his meter, then you might not have an obligation to either. The nafkamina might be if he got held up in the store or if he forgot or something, which may or may not be considered pshia. But yes, you're right. That would be yet another reason why you might not have to. But in general, the idea is it's clear from the paradigm of karka and the mainstream approach seems to be that you are mechuyev to stop people from suffering a loss, even if it's just a loss not connected to the loss of property, just a hefsid mammon. There are these various examples, a couple of Shvarabi Kvegers and other sources that say it, and this business about Mavri Achari, but the general trend seems to be that a Jew is mechuyev, again, if it's not going to cost you anything, at least a Jew is mechuyev to do what he can to stop another Jew from suffering a loss.